We've been looking in the book of Psalms chapter 37 for several weeks now, and we've been talking about the subject of faith versus fretting. There are people in the world that just fret over everything, and there are people in the world that believe God and just walk with God, and that doesn't mean that sometimes we don't get a little anxious, because I think we'd be lying if we didn't say we did. I like the song, Living by Faith and Feel No Alarm, but every once in a while I live by faith and feel some alarm. Are you with me tonight? Amen. And I believe that's the way it is if we'd be truthful about it. We looked at the progression of faith in the first message. All this started out to be one message. And then the second message, we looked at the power of faith. Then we looked at the promise of faith. Then we looked at the path of faith. Then we looked at the provision of faith in chapter 37. And tonight, I'd like to look for a few minutes at the protection of faith. Notice what the Bible said in verse 31. The Bible said, the law of God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. The wicked watcheth the righteous and seeketh to slay him. Now, you know, tonight sometimes we fail to understand and acknowledge that we have an enemy. Now, we know the devil's our enemy, that he walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But I'm going to tell you something right now. Listen, you just watch the news. You don't even have to do that. You just be what you ought to be for God, and you're going to find out there's some wicked people in this world. And the Word of God said, the wicked watcheth. He's watching the righteous and seeketh to slay him. The Lord will not leave him in his hand. How many's glad of that? Boy, I like that message there, where he upholdeth us with his hand. I'm glad I'm in his hand, not in their hand. Ain't you? Amen. And the Word of God said here, the Lord will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged. Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. I have seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a green bay tree. And, you know, we see that a lot of times today, don't we? Listen to me. Just watch the news. Buddy, there's some wicked people in great power in the United States of America. Amen? And the Bible said, yet he passed away. Lo, he was not. I sought him, but he could not be found. Mark the perfect man, and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. That's going to take us into the next message if I get done with this, is what we have in front of us tonight. Let's pray together. Father, thank you tonight for your word. Thank you for the Spirit of God, for each one that's come. Thank you for our visitor tonight. And we pray, Lord, that you would visit with us tonight, that you would encourage us, you'd strengthen us. And Lord, we pray tonight that Jesus would be magnified in the service. Lord, I pray you'd bless the children that are next door learning the Bible, the teenagers, Lord, that are gathered around the Word of God tonight. I pray you'd bless them. Help us now, Father, tonight, we pray. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen. The Word of God said, the law of God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. The wicked watcheth the righteous and seeketh to slay him. But the Lord will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged. I want to give you a principle tonight, and we'll get back to it towards the end of the message. But I want to go through several texts, several passages of Scripture tonight that magnify the principle that I'm about to give you. And that is this. What God is saying when he's going to protect us, he's not saying that nothing bad is ever going to happen in our life. We know better than that. Look at the life of the Apostle Paul. Matter of fact, when God called the Apostle Paul, he told him, he called him to suffer. Amen? And we look at the life of David. We look at the life of Job. That's probably where I'll come back to last. But in the onset of the message tonight, we need to understand that in the Job chapter number 1, we need to understand that everything that happened in Job's life, had to be run across God's desk first. You understand what I mean? In other words, the devil He didn't have free rein in Job's life, but what he had was whatever God allowed him to have. And whatever God allowed him to have, God was working to good for his glory. Amen. To Job's good and for God's glory. And I think that would help us tonight. Now listen, if we don't believe that, when bad things come into our lives, then if we don't really believe that, then if we're not careful, we'll believe the lie of the devil that God, there's something wrong with God. And we'll be like some people. I got a lady on my mind tonight. God help her. I love her. And she was faithful to this church for some period of time. But she's mad at God tonight. I'm going to tell you something tonight, beloved. If we don't believe that if we're born again, and that everything that comes in and through our life comes across God's desk, we'll get crossways with God. Amen. And so we need to understand that He is our protector tonight. But because He is our protector, listen, you say, preacher, I don't understand why some things happen. I don't either. But I will tell you this, we're living under a curse. There's something called the curse of sin. I'm going to a place where there's no more cancer. But right now there's cancer. I'm going to a place where there's no more dementia or Alzheimer's, but right now we have that in this world. I'm going to a place, thank God, where there's no more arthritis, but right now we have arthritis. I'm going to a place where there's no more death, but right now there's death. I'm going to a place where there's no more tears, but right now there's tears. I'm going to a place where there's no more pain, but right now there's pain. In this world that we live in. One of my favorite verses of Scripture is over there in Revelation 22 where He said there's no more curse. Adam and Eve sinned, plunged the whole human race. But you know, I've said that for years and that's not even a complete statement. The Spirit of God just spoke to my heart. Listen, plunged the whole creation. Not just the human race into sin. In other words, in that garden where they were, Brother Wayne, they could have roses without thorns. They could have corn on the cob without weeds. They didn't have to worry about the bugs eating up their beans. Say amen. In other words, it was perfect. But when they sinned, there was a curse come, and God said, now, man, by the sweat of your face, you're going to eat bread. The woman, what Sister Miriam went through, the jaws of death to deliver a baby into this world. Amen? And in childbearing. But God is protecting us that are His children. Listen to what the Word of God said in Psalm 34, verse 7. It said, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear Him and delivereth them. How many believes that tonight? That we have someone protecting us tonight. I believe that with all of my heart. Brother Mays Jackson used to say, he said, I have two angels that follow me everywhere. He said, one of them's name is goodness. And he said, the other one's name is mercy. He got that out of Psalm 23. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. I don't know, beloved, listen, but I believe we can be happy tonight knowing, listen, we may get up and face some tragedy in the morning, but we can know, amen, that we have a God that loves us and there's a purpose for whatever it is that's coming in to our life. I believe the world knows nothing about that, but God's people are walking by faith, and there's a protecting hand of God. Isaiah 54 said this, verse 17, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment that thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Some people might say, well, that's an Old Testament passage of Scripture. Let me ask you a couple of things right quickly. Are we the servants of the Lord? How many have privilege to be called a servant of the Most High God? If you've never seen the movie before, I wish you'd watch it. It's a wonderful, wonderful production. It was put together by Bob Jones University. We showed it here in the church one time since I've been here, and the movie was Sheffy. And it was about an old circuit-riding preacher. And that circuit-riding preacher, he got to be famous. People knew him everywhere he went. Because God's hand was on him. Amen. Like Elijah, like Elisha, God's hand was on him. And God would move in the meetings where he was preaching. And people would say, well, you're Brother Sheffy. like they were just thrilled to meet him. And he'd say, I'm just a servant of the Lord. I tell you, I love that. I love that. That speaks to my heart. Amen. We're just servants of the Most High God. And the Word of God said, no weapon that's formed against thee shall prosper. Every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me. How many can say tonight you're righteous in the eyes of God? But our righteousness is not of ourselves. It's of our Savior. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ. I appreciate that tonight. Romans 8:33 said it like this. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? You know, when you're reading about these, think about the Psalms here where it says the wicked seeketh to slay them. Think about what we just read a while ago. And Paul said, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? How many knows tonight we have an accuser? There's an accuser of the brethren. A day and night. He don't let up. I've been telling people for several years when I get ready to leave, I'm going to do something the devil won't do. And they'll say, what's that? I said, I'm going to leave you alone. Amen. He ain't going to leave you alone. He ain't going to leave you alone. He's going to be back. That's why the Bible said when Jesus was tempted out in the wilderness 40 days and 40 nights, and he was tempted and he withstood the temptation. It is written, it is written, it is written. The Bible said, then the devil leaveth him, somebody tell me the next word, for a season. What's that mean? That means he'll be back. He'll be back. He'll be back. But thank God the same one that took care of him when he was here the first time will be here when he comes back. The Lord. Who is he? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. You know, the Bible said in the book of Hebrews, he ever liveth. Those Old Testament priests died. But we have a priest sitting at the high priest, a great high priest sitting at the right hand of God that ever liveth, the Bible said, to make intercession for us. Now, wait a minute tonight. Wouldn't it be something if he's sitting there praying for me tonight and something comes into my life that he didn't want to come into my life or he didn't allow to come in? How many sees that picture? No, sir. I'm telling you tonight. All things work together for good. Listen to what he said here. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress? Now, this verse alone tells us that it's not God's will for God's people to go through life without problems. Just this verse alone. The Apostle Paul is saying, he said, shall tribulation? Who's going to separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? He said, as it is written, for thy sake we're killed all the day long. We're accounted as sheep for the slaughter. He said then this, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Beloved, I tell you where the mistake is made, is when we think we can be a conqueror without him. We're conquerors tonight through him that loved us. The Bible said here, for I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities. How many remembers? The Bible said we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against a principality. I'm not getting it right. Spiritual wickedness in high places. Let me read it. Where's it at? Ephesians? Is that where it's at? I think it's Ephesians chapter 6. I'm going to read it. I can't recall it right now, so I'll just turn over there and read it. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Beloved, listen, I've had people say to me, well, I would get saved, but I can't live it. I'm quick to agree with them. You're right. There's not a person in this room that can live it. Amen. But I tell you what can happen when you get saved by the grace of God. The Spirit of God will come in you. And beloved, you can have a victorious Christian life, not because of you, but because of him, as we yield to the Lord. Amen. The Bible said here, I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Sounds to me like he's protecting us. Sounds to me like in his righteousness we'll be okay. It sounds to me like, beloved, that greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Sounds to me like this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Amen. I believe that tonight. And so there's the protection of faith. Listen to what Psalm 121 said. It said, I'll lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. If you read the first verse there, it might seem like your help's coming from the hill. Now, I'll tell you where your help comes from. It's from the one that made the hill. He just wanted you to look at the hill, amen, so you'd realize, listen, that hill's a lot bigger than I am. This problem's a lot bigger than I am. This tribulation's a lot bigger than I am. But the same one that made the hill can take care of me, amen. The Bible said here, my help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. I don't know how many times I've prayed for somebody. I prayed for Joseph this morning. The doctors have given up. The doctors have said we can do all we've done all we can do. I'm going to tell you something right now. I don't know how many times in prayer these words have come out of my mouth. God, you made these bodies. Let me ask you something tonight. You reckon a man that could start with nothing and make a vehicle could fix it? Answer that. You reckon he could? You reckon a man that could take some wood and some padding and some upholstery and that could start from scratch and make a pew, you reckon if something went wrong with that pew, he'd be pretty apt to be able to fix it? I believe that's right. Well, who made us? If he wants to, he can fix it. Somebody said, well, I wish he always wanted to. If he always wanted to, we'd never die. Ain't that right? We would never die. And the Bible said the wages of sin is death. We're going to die because we're living under a curse. But listen, for God's people, I like the way it's worded over there. Jesus told him, said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? You say, preacher, what is that talking about? It's talking about, beloved, listen, when we breathe our last breath, we're present with the Lord. When we're God's children, amen, listen, all we did is change tents. We just changed dwelling places, amen. We just went to be with our Creator. We just went to be with our Savior in a moment of time, amen. All we leave down here is that old tent. Then in the resurrection, thank God he's going to give us a new tent. Amen. A new body like unto the Lord. Now the Bible said here, he will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. You say, well, preacher, you reckon God was asleep when that happened? How many knows the answer to that? He's not one that sleeps. He's not one. The Bible said, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. I'm just trying to magnify a little thought tonight that God put in my heart out of Psalm 37. The protection of faith. You know, I don't lay down at night nervous. Amen. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Because I know whom I've believed. And I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. We're kept through by the power of God through faith. In other words, beloved, listen, we're not keeping ourselves. We didn't save ourselves. We're not keeping ourselves. And that individual that understands that understands, beloved, the protection of an almighty God upon the believer. He's a blessing tonight as he keeps us day and night. Psalm 27 verse 1 said this, The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? That's a good question, isn't it? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. And now shall my head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. I'll read some more in just a minute. Let me just stop and say this tonight. I think one of the things that's going to make heaven heaven, there we're going to have the mind of Christ. There we're going to not only know what God delivered us through. How many's got some things in your mind right now and God delivered you through? God delivered you through. That's like the Red Sea, the children of Israel. God delivered them through. Amen. He delivered them through that tribulation. He delivered them through. But beloved, listen, when we get to heaven, we're not only going to know what God delivered us through, we're going to know what God delivered us from. Do you understand tonight? We don't know that tonight. I'm telling you tonight, you can go down Stone Drive, beloved, listen, and listen, not knowing that there's a hand of God, amen, around us tonight, and God taking care of us when we couldn't take care of ourselves. I'm telling you tonight, he'll do that. And beloved, listen, I believe with all of my heart, the Lord wants us to understand that he's protecting his children. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou saidest, seek my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord. Lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies. For false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. Now listen, verse 13, it's critical. It's critical to understanding. He said, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Beloved, there's people in this room tonight that would not be in this room tonight had they not been able to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Beloved, and we go through trials, we go through things, and you say, well, sometimes our mind will go, well, why didn't God take care of my son? Or why didn't God take care of my wife? Why didn't God take care of my grandchildren? I'm going to tell you something right now tonight. I believe heaven will be heaven when we see how that God did take care of all of his children. We don't understand. We're looking from the bottom up. We're like the little girl that was sitting down at the feet of her grandmother. She was doing the cross stitch. And she asked her grandmother what she was doing. She said, I'm making a beautiful picture. And she looked up and said, no, it's not beautiful. And she got her up in her lap. And she said, you're right, grandmother, it is beautiful. I'm telling you, looking at it from here, there's a lot of things that are just plumb ugly. Would somebody help me? But I'm telling you, God's painting a beautiful picture in the lives of his children. Amen. And we're not going to get to see the picture till we get where he is. I'm telling you tonight, that's what faith is. It's believing that God is at work, even when it hurts. Beloved, Paul was out there on the ship, but he wasn't griping, he wasn't complaining. He did tell them, you should have hearkened unto me and not set sail, amen. But I'm telling you, beloved, listen, he made the best out of a bad situation, and God spared their lives. The Bible said here, teach me thy way, O Lord. Lead me in a plain path. Deliver me not to the wheel. I had fainted unless I believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Now watch this. He said, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. He shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. I'm going to tell you something tonight. Take this little phrase home with you tonight. Waiting is work. Waiting is not something that's easy to do. There are many women that have waited for years for God to save their husband. Brother Colt, one of the things I had to learn, maybe you've already learned it, brother. What I had to learn as a young preacher is they're not always going to get saved when you're preaching to them. They're not always going to get saved when you're witnessing to them. Boy, I'd like to see that, wouldn't you? I'd just like to see everybody God deals with run to Jesus. I'd love to see that. I thought about my friend. They ordained him as a deacon up in Wise, and he was lost when I left Wise, but I left with a confidence that one day he would be saved. Phone rung on a Tuesday night. I told him, I said, Charlie, I believe with all my heart you're going to get saved. I said, when you do, I want to know about it. The phone rung on a Tuesday night, and Charlie stuttered really bad. We were the best of friends. I'm not making fun of Charlie, but when I answered that phone, somebody said, hello, brother. I said, Charlie, is that you? He said, yeah, it is. I said, you got saved, didn't you, son? He said, yeah, I did. And we rejoiced in the Lord. Amen. I was up there for years and it didn't happen. But you got to wait on the Lord. Amen. There'll be victory when we wait on the Lord. I'm telling you tonight, Daniel, he waited on the Lord. They said, you're not going to pray anymore. I mean, I'm just paraphrasing, but Daniel in his heart was thinking, really? I wasn't talking to you when you made your law, and I ain't talking to you after you make your law. I'm going to keep talking to the same one I've always been talking to. The Bible said he prayed three times a day, as he did aforetime. And it said his window was open. What'd that mean? I tell you what that meant. That meant he wasn't ashamed of the Lord. Towards Jerusalem. And he prayed. My grandfather went to a restaurant one time, and Brother Rose, you remind me a lot of my grandfather, especially with a flat top. That's how he wore his hair. And y'all about the same build and all that. My grandfather was praying in a restaurant one time, and my grandfather just prayed like he was preaching. I mean, he didn't put on or nothing. He'd say, Father, bless this food, you know. He just prayed like he was preaching right out loud. Old fellas with him said, John! He said, when you prayed, everybody in this restaurant bowed their head. He said, yeah, except you, you buzzard. That's what he told him, amen. How do you know everybody else had their head bowed if he wasn't looking, amen? Amen. I'm telling you tonight, Daniel wasn't ashamed. God took care of Daniel. They said, we're going to feed you to the lions. That's okay if the lions got lockjaw. They got holy lockjaw that night, didn't they? Amen. You say, preacher, God didn't do that. Yeah, he did. Look what happened to the ones they throwed in there the next morning. Honey, they didn't even make it to the bottom of the den. They were devoured. Wasn't it the lions wasn't hungry? It's just they wasn't hungry for God's man. Say amen. They just like the lions in this world, Brother Rose. They wasn't hungry for righteousness. As hungry for unrighteousness. That's what the lions in this world, that's why they want you and I. That's why they want to devour us. Amen. I thought about the three Hebrew children, how God protected them. I'm going to tell you something right now. According to the Word of God, you couldn't even smell smoke on their clothing when they come out of that furnace. You say, I don't believe God did that. I do. Matter of fact, I believe that that fourth man in the furnace, the Bible says, likened to the Son of God. I believe that's none other than the pre-incarnate Christ. Amen. I believe Jesus said, come on, boys, let's fellowship a while. And let me just tell you this, too. Let me give you something right now. God just gave me. There ain't no fellowship like fellowshipping in the fire. Hey, none of us will ever fellowship with God like we will in the fire. How many knows what I just said? You'll fellowship in the fire. You're going through some valley, going through some trial. I'm going to tell you something, the fellowship will be sweeter than it's ever been. Why? Because it's in the valley where we grow. Amen. In the valleys where that fertile soil is. The three Hebrew children, I thought about David, the giant. David and Saul, how he run from him. Saul hunted him like a dog. I'm going to tell you tonight, God protected him. And you say, preacher, Everybody, I want you to listen to him just a minute, and I'm done. What about Job? You started off talking about Job, and how many's read Job chapter 1? You know that that Satan, he had to come before the Lord, and the Lord gave him liberty. And he Job's children, he took his family, took his fortune, his farm, and destroyed the barns, destroyed the children. And I'm going to tell you what, that'd be bad enough. And Satan come back and said, yeah, but I'm just paraphrasing, a man give everything God for his life. And he said, well, you can have him. You just can't take his life. And so he's covered in boils now. Bobby, you're too young, honey. I don't believe you remember. You don't remember that boil Daddy had on his back, do you? You know how big Daddy was and strong, working in steel up there in Maryland. He had a boil right here on his back, just one. And Mama would try to doctor it. And finally, he got so bad he had to go to the doctor. But I watched my dad go through a door in the house, and he hit that boil on that door frame going through that door. My dad's 6'2", weighed about 235 or 240, and didn't have an ounce of fat on him. I'm telling you, he was a brute. And it put him on his knees. One little old boil caused tears to come in my daddy's eyes and caused him to go down. They finally ended up, I'm not trying to be gross, but it had to be lanced to get it better. But I can't imagine. I'm just telling you what I saw Daddy go through. That old timers used to call what come out of something like that corruption. How many knows what I'm talking about? They call it corruption. And Mommy would doctor, and she'd try to get it out and try to doctor it. But I can't imagine what it'd be like to be covered in boils. That means you can't stand up. That means you can't sit down. That means you can't lay down. That means you ain't got a minute's peace. Boils, covered in boils right here. And his wife said, honey, won't you curse God and die? He said, you speak as a foolish woman. The Lord gives. The Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You say, preacher, I don't understand. I guarantee you Job didn't either. This is the man that prayed for his children just in case they did something wrong. This is the man that the Bible said eschewed evil. This is the man the Bible said walked upright. Yet trouble came. That's what the Word of God said. Yet trouble came. Well, you need to read the last chapter. You know what I believe tonight? Listen to me carefully. When you and I get in one of those deep, dark valleys, you know what we need to understand? Listen to me carefully. If you don't get nothing else, just understand this. This is not the last chapter. The Word of God said over there in Job chapter 42, listen, Job got twice as many cattle. Job got 10 children. Somebody said to me one time, said, but he didn't double his children. I said, yeah, he did. He just had 10 in heaven and 10 on earth. 10 and 10, still 20. Say amen. I'm telling you, that's a proof text if you look at it, that a cow's different than a child. I'm going to tell you tonight, the Word of God said this, the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than the beginning. You mark my word tonight. If you're here tonight, you've been washed in the blood. Your righteousness of Christ is what's going to take you out of this world and take you to heaven. You mark my word tonight, God's going to bless the latter end more than the beginning. The next time we're in that valley, we ought to just remember, this is not the last chapter. Chapter 42 in the book of Job. You ought to read it. Job prayed for his friends. He prayed for those that was standing around saying, Job, I'm just paraphrasing. Boy, there must be something bad wrong in your life. Amen. Everybody needs a friend like that. Amen. Must be something bad wrong in your life. I'm going to tell you something right now. Job, I believe you read chapter 37, 38, and 39. I believe Job might have had a little something that was bad wrong in his life. I believe it might have been a little dose of pride in there. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Well, about every man's got a little dose of pride. Would somebody help me? God said, Job, where were you? God started talking to Job. Where were you? Job chapter 42 starts off like this. He said, I've heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. I believe that was an eye of faith. He said, wherefore I abhor myself and I repent in dust and ashes. I don't know this for sure, but Job may have been like we are sometimes. He may have thought a little bit more of himself than he ought to think, thought a little bit more highly of himself. But really, Job didn't need to defend himself, but that's what he thought he needed to do. When he got face to face with those friends, that was one thing. But when he got face to face with God, that was another thing. How many believes tonight? Listen to me carefully before you answer me. How many believes it's impossible for God to lie? Okay? How many believes it's impossible for God to make a mistake? Now, it's one thing to raise our hand tonight and say that, but whatever we're facing in the morning, we need to be able to say the same thing. Our God makes no mistakes. I may not understand it. It may be so dark I can't see my hand in front of my face. I just hope it never gets so dark that I can't see His hand in whatever I'm going through. Amen. How many's glad you come tonight? Amen. What's your first name, honey? Pam? Okay, Pam. It's good to have you with us tonight. I hope some of these people get around and shake hands with Pam tonight. Good to have you with us tonight. I'm going to tell you what's good to know the Lord tonight, isn't it? Amen. Miss Pam, do you know Him tonight, honey? Do you know the Lord? That's a blessing, ain't it? I was 27 before I come to know Him. I'm not what I ought to be, but I thank God I'm not what I used to be. And I also thank God I'm not what I'm going to be. Amen. One day I'm going to be perfect. I'm going to be just like Jesus. Thank you for coming. Father, I pray tonight you dismiss us in your watch care. Thank you, Lord, tonight for the privilege to look in the Bible and realize, Lord, those that believe God are protected. Lord, I thank you tonight for your goodness, for your grace, for your mercy. Lord, I've been through some ordeals in this life, but Lord, nothing compared to what Jesus went through on that cross so that I could leave this world, get out from under, Lord, the curse of sin. Lord, go into your presence. Lord, where we'll never hurt, never die, never shed another tear. What a blessing it'll be, Lord, to be with you forever and forever. Until then, God, I believe your grace is sufficient. Lord, you didn't remove the thorn from Paul's life, but you did provide grace that he might bear up under it. Lord, these that we've requested prayer for tonight, Lord, so many tonight are unsaved. God, I pray tonight that, Lord, you'd touch their heart. Lord, Sunday morning, there'll be people in church that maybe don't go to church on a regular basis just because it's Easter. Lord, there'll be people visiting with us Sunday. Lord, I do pray that, the Lord, when they come in, that they wouldn't just see others. They wouldn't just see a building. Lord, I pray that some way through eyes of faith, they'd understand, Lord, that you're here. That, Lord, you love them. That, Lord, you want to help them. Father, tonight I ask you, Lord, to, Lord, see us through the valleys. Help us, Lord, to realize, Lord, that God will make the trial a blessing. Lord, I pray tonight that you'll bless your people. Bless us together, and God will give you glory in Jesus' name. All of God's people said, amen. Amen. Thank you.